me tell you who's doing sneakers the best in the game right now. That's New Balance. The two-way V4, featuring this groundbreaking use of technology with fresh foam. It's called Fuel Cell, creating this combination that we love of rebound and cushioning. Fresh foam offers unparalleled cushioning for maximum comfort your entire game from start to finish. The upper construction features this lightweight textile that reduces weight, which we all need, I know I do, while remaining supportive and breathable. Hard to find that combo. The two-way V4 gives you the tools that you need to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way V4 at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything that you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure that you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive, so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating, so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. I've been so pumped to take a couple of friends with our road bikes to some of the trails nearby, and now I can bring the entire crew, my dog, and all of our gear with that third row. Learn more about the new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
On this episode of The Heat Check, it's an interview extravaganza this episode. Not one, not two, not three, but four interviews for your NBA enjoyment. We start with Brendan Tobin, who covers the Miami Heat. He drops some knowledge on our dome. Kyle Madsen covers the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors from ESPN 1320 out in Sacramento. Ryan Edwards gives us a little insight into the Denver Nuggets. And finally, generalist NBA guru Kurt Heelan for NBC Sports is here to all make it make sense. Get so much to get into, Anthony. Drop that motherfucking beat that should be Rihanna. Call a check-in episode where we check in on what's happening from around the league with some of the local NBA markets, and hot damn, we got some piping hot tea for you all about some of the best teams in the league. All these interviews were conducted on my other show, BetMGM Tonight, which airs nationally in most major markets, as well as live on Twitch and YouTube Monday through Friday from 7 to 11 Eastern Standard Time. I am joined on these interviews by my co-host, Nick Ashew. Check it out when you get a chance, by the way. We talk a lot of hoops on that show. We started our extravaganza by checking in on the Miami Heat with Brendan Tobin, co-host of Tobin and Leroy on 560 Sports WQAM in Miami, an Odyssey station. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Tobin and Leroy airs Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on ESPN. He gives us some great info on the Heat and their chances going forward.
Brendan Tobin jumps on with us, 560 Sports in Miami. Also tapped out on BetQL as well. But I love this Heat team now, man. Like, I do. Even as a Knicks fan, the rivalry is not a rivalry anymore. We go way back for that, so it doesn't matter. But, like, watching the way that they now play defense, it feels like the Miami Heat team we remember. And I know offensively it hasn't been – it's been a struggle at times, especially recently, even through this winning streak, this all, you know, the games they've had. But, like, I look at it and go, well, Tyler Hero's healthy once you get to the playoffs. They didn't have him for majority of that run last year. Terry Rozier, if he starts to consistently score for them and do what he's done in his last two stops, this team can be better offensively than where they were last year. Jimmy Butler is Jimmy Butler. I really think that this team is better than the team that went to the finals last year. You're in the middle of it. You hear this every day. You watch this team closely. What do you think of this Heat team right now?
I think they went through some real struggles at parts of this year. Part of it was that they couldn't get everybody together. But even when they had everybody together, it was weird because they had this weird hierarchy problem with their scoring, because it was very much like, you know, still trying to make it Bam and Tyler to like carry in the regular season when everybody knows Jimmy Butler's still the best player on the team. And they go through this 7-game losing streak, and it's finally like just dawns on these guys who have been playing together for 5 seasons. Oh, yeah, we realize it's Jimmy Butler, it's Bam Adebayo, then it's Tyler Hero. And it was weird that they couldn't get to that pecking order playing with each other for so long, because all the other pieces, I agree with you, there are some pieces that make them a little bit deeper and make them more intriguing and more versatile in certain playoff matchups. But they had to figure out, you know, their top guys first and then how all those things fall in line. And, you know, simple enough it is, hey, Jimmy Butler is, even though it's a bit of a, you know, lazy river of him to before he just starts to pick it up in the regular season, that time came and they started playing a lot better. But certainly there has been more emphasis on the defensive side, which Spo has been very happy about.
When everyone's healthy, who's in the starting lineup?
It's a great question, Trista, because I think their answer was just going to be, you know, Terry, Tyler, Jimmy, Bam, and then go with Nikola Jovic. But Duncan Robinson has been playing so spectacular as of late, and it's so interesting to see his relationship with Eric Spoelstra, because it's a guy who's basically gone from the wonder child who was a D3 guy to a $90 million contract to not playing. And now Spo's like, well, we're just, you know, he can't ignore how much better they are, how much better the numbers are with him on the court. So that's going to be the interesting thing. I cannot see them benching Tyler Hero, because that feels like it's going to crush his ego more than anything. I don't think they're going to do that for Terry because they just trade him. So the only coin flip is, do they bench the rookie Jovic because, you know, he's going to be the good soldier about it, or do they just keep Duncan Robinson coming off the bench and go in that direction? But the only swap I potentially see once everybody is healthy is Duncan Robinson, I guess, essentially being their four, but sticking with a Tyler Hero, Terry Rozier backcourt.
So, Brendan, you got kind of this log jam right now from the 4 spot in the East down to the 8 spot where the Heat are. And it's, you know, we're looking at literally a game and a half difference between the 4 and the 8 spot. Where does Miami stack up in your eyes right now in the Eastern Conference?
I think, like, look, everybody is marveling at what Boston's doing. They've had, in this good run that they've had since turning around the win streak, I would say 3 matchups against true title contenders, Denver, the Clippers, and Boston. Those are their 3 losses in this whole spin. They've been competitive games. I mean, they've stuck right in them. There's been some, you know, injury adversity for both teams on both sides in that. So I do think that there's something to Miami still having that ability to make a deep run if they get into it. I'm still a little queasy about what the Bucks have become and if they're going to have this all with Doc Rivers. Spo usually coaches circles around Doc Rivers no matter the teams and who changes there. He just seems to have a big advantage there, and we'll figure things out. Obviously, you know, the Sixers, it's all dependent upon Joel Embiid, though they've had success in series against them before. Cleveland's interesting. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, everybody sees the talent, and I think, you know, with their size, has some like Denver stuff that could give Miami issues. You know, Denver definitely has probably the best blueprint to slow down Miami, but as an Eastern Conference team, they probably have a lot of those elements that could give Miami some troubles. It's just a matter of, do you believe in what they've done this regular season being able to translate into the playoffs? So I just think the reason everybody is still giving Miami a puncher's chance is because the guys who are kind of on the rise, the Knicks too. If the Knicks are, you know, what they were before everybody got hurt, when I watched them in the playoffs last year and watching that series with Jalen Brunson, I really did think, like, man, if they got one more piece, they'd give Miami a lot of trouble. They're just a matter of, you know, are they going to be all physically right?
You mentioned the Cavs. One of the things that is a big vulnerability for the Cavs, Brendan, is just their offense. At times, it feels like it sputters. Very similarly to that match he had with the Knicks, where it was just a brick fest. Miami 5th in defensive rating right now in the last 5 games, but offensively, like Nick said, just kind of middle of the pack. That happened, though, last year in the postseason, where they were shooting 33% from 3-point during the regular season and then damn near 40% in the playoffs. How does this team turn it up offensively when the lights get bright? not just the scheme wise, but how do they do it with these guys this year?
It's a good question because, you know, they don't have a ton of guys who can, you know, be ignitable from three other than Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero. And obviously you're going to have some defensive letdown with having those guys on the court. Terry Rozier, we can all kind of see the idea of Terry Rozier in the good spots, but he has not shot well since he's traded over here. He said all the right things. He hasn't been a bad character guy or any of that stuff. It's just, he just hasn't been making shots. So on that side, you're going to have to, you know, lean on to Jimmy. And Bam has definitely picked things up from, you know, an aggression standpoint and being able to get to the free throw line a lot better. But they know what their identity is going into these playoffs. They're going to make it ugly. You know, some fan bases on NBA Twitter will say they're borderline dirty. We all see the montages that they put together to try and call the Heat out. But that's how they like it. They like to, in a league that is, you know, going with these crazy offensive numbers, they don't have those guys. Jimmy Butler's never scored 40 points in the regular season for the Miami Heat. And then when it gets to the regular season, when it gets to the postseason, I think he has 9 in his career. You know, 13 of his top 15 playoff scoring performances are with the Heat. His top in regular season, he has 2 in his top 15 of his career. So it just shows you kind of how he knows to go to a different level offensively for them. It has become almost a running joke, this whole when he turns into playoff Jimmy thing, but there is a veteran savviness to it. He knows how to build himself up in that regard and when to kind of get into that mode. And when he gets to the playoffs, he turns into a different player offensively.
Yeah, and I was just about to ask you about that. Like, there was all summer long for the Dame trade. Doesn't happen. Is Tyler Hero now safe from trade rumors? And how does the emergence of Jaime Jaquez coming in to the mix and really just delivering almost like Jimmy Butler 2.0 vibes alter the Heat's plan for someone like Tyler Hero?
It's very interesting because, weirdly enough, I had like the Heat's marketing guy on this week because they were talking about, they had like some family fest. And I remember when Tyler Hero was like the marketing darling for the Heat. And that is now flipped because now they're all about Jaime Jaquez. Like, he is beloved. He's already done like every autograph signing. They love Jaime Jaquez. They're all about him. I would have a hard time believing if this is a Heat team that, honestly, if it doesn't even end in a championship, I would have a hard time believing they're going to run it back with Bam, Jimmy, and Tyler once again. They're going to have to shake something up just because this is year 5 of those guys playing together. And yes, Tyler has had inconsistencies of either injuries or just poor performances in the playoffs. He's the obvious guy that they would go to. So that's why he's got the most riding. I mean, Bam is like Mr. Heat. They've loved him since he's walked in the building. You know, Alonzo Mourning, I remember him telling me when he was 20, he's like, we're going to raise his jersey in the rafters. He buys into all Heat things. And, you know, Jimmy Butler, unless like they pull a swerve and change Jimmy Butler, I don't think they're going to trade him, you know, that he says this is where he wants to end his career. So yeah, that just, it always just by process of elimination always gets back to, if they're going to make a big move, it's going to be Tyler. And that's why, you know, he probably wants to be as physically right going into this postseason because there's a lot riding on it for him.
There he is, Brendan Tobin, 560 Sports in Miami. Great to talk to you again, man.
Next, we move on to Kyle Madsen of the Insiders, which airs weekdays on Sacramento's ESPN 1320, another Odyssey station, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Kyle covers both the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors, and he is here to give us a little knowledge on both. Let's get right into it. Kyle, I'm watching this Kings versus Timberwolves game. And it feels like shifting over to the NBA. And it feels like the better the team that the Kings play, the better the Kings play, right? No De'Aaron Fox tonight, up 99-96. Malik Monk solidifying his case for sixth man of the year, which is just wild that he figured out a way to snake to the top of that list. But where are we at with the Kings right now?
We are at a place where they're fine. Like, they are exactly, to me, they're exactly what they were last year. I've learned everything I need to know about the Kings. It's Domas, it's Fox. They need Keegan Murray to become more of a dude as a scorer and as a creator. But other than that, like, everybody on that team is expendable to me. I think they need some dogs. I think they need some guys who are going to step up. Yeah, Malik's a dog for sure, but he's too up and down.
Malik is expendable to you?
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. You're right. No, Malik Monk is not. He is their most important player to me. But on the other hand, Trista, to that point, I think it's those four dudes, but also I think they need to make another pretty significant move if they're going to contend with the Nuggets, if they're going to contend with whatever OKC is going to become in the next couple of years, if they're going to contend with a Minnesota team where Anthony Edwards kind of fully realizes what he's going to be. I think they need to make another major move, and that might mean moving on from one of those four guys that I just mentioned. Like that's kind of where I land with them. As for this year, if you told me they made the playoffs and won a playoff series, I wouldn't be shocked. If you told me they lost in the play-in, I wouldn't be shocked. They are so up and down, and the fact that you don't know what team you're getting on a given night is kind of their problem right now.
Especially too, though, I mean, just how jammed the Western Conference is. It just makes everything that much more difficult for a team that if you go to the East, you'd be sitting there like outside of the play-in tournament with, you know, not having to worry about that. And that's where, I mean, Golden State right now, we look at this Warriors team and say, wait, have they figured things out a little bit? Are they, like, I know they're not the Warriors of the past. You've got guys coming off the bench that used to start like Klay Thompson, but it feels like the roles have been adjusted. Steve Kerr's figured it out, and they've kind of rounded that corner. Is this a Warriors team that can maybe make some noise in the playoffs after all?
Man, it feels more like that with each passing win. I didn't think so at the beginning of this year, just because, I mean, you saw last year against the Lakers, they just ran out of gas, man. Like Klay Thompson was dreadful in that series because he's been hurt a couple of times. And he's coming off a couple of injuries, and he's old, and that was kind of a problem for them. And then you get Steph, I think, had a little bit of the same problem because he's carrying such a heavy workload at 34, 35. I think he turned 36 this year. Like they've been reliant on those guys for so long. But now you get Jonathan Kuminga, who has developed into a legitimate scoring threat. Moses Moody, in Andrew Wiggins' absence, Moses Moody has been outstanding. And that's something Warriors fans have kind of been clamoring for a while. So now all of a sudden, you have a couple of young guys who you can legitimately rely on. And Brandon Pajemski, of course, has been one of the best rookies in the NBA this year, who's closing games for them. Now all of a sudden, you have some young guys that you can really lean on, where you're taking some of the onus off of Steph. And you're putting Klay into a bench role where you're taking some of the load off of him, and he can start being more effective. So I am not saying I'm going to go run and bet on the Warriors to win a title, but I am saying that I don't think that is as outrageous as I thought it was maybe even 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, they look really good. And what's fascinating to me, Kyle, is it's the external factors outside of Steve Kerr's control that lead Steve Kerr to finally making the right decision. Moses Moody only coming in because Andrew Wiggins has to leave due to a personal issue. Kuminga fighting with him in the media and leaking things to Shams. Klay Thompson just being ass, and Pajemski emerging really with the Draymond suspension, a lot of things shuffling around. And then Steve Kerr gets the extension. Did you feel like when he got the extension that the timeline for this team to still contend had been extended?
Yeah, a little bit. And I think that's a great point you make, because everything that has happened this year has been something. Go back, don't do this because it's awful, but just for argument's sake, go back to Warriors Twitter from the last couple of years, or go talk to any, read a Warriors blog, listen to a Warriors podcast. It's been start Moses Moody, start Jonathan Kuminga, move Klay to the bench. And Steve Kerr, I think is a really good coach, and I think you're kind of seeing that. He was just up against this issue of, okay, well, Klay has to start and close, and so does Draymond, and so does Steph, and it's going to be relying heavily on veterans because that they just won a title in 2022, and so this is what they're going to do, and they're going to ride it out. And that was the wrong thing to do. And now that he's kind of been pushed into the right thing to do, I think you're seeing that he's a really good coach. It just kind of took a little bit of a forced push to get him where he needed to go.
So I assume at this point we can just go with Klay Thompson is going to be coming off the bench the rest of the season then.
Yeah, unless it doesn't sound like the Brandon Pajemski injury that kept him out tonight is going to be major. I think Steve Kerr called it day to day. So yeah, that would be my guess. And I hate it for Clay because I know it kills him. Like you know that he wants to be out there starting. You know he wants to be out there closing games. But if you're being realistic, like as awesome as he's been, and I mean he's gonna have his jersey in the rafters. I think he should get a statue outside of Chase. Like he's been so essential and has had so many big moments. But at this point in 2024, if the Warriors are seriously going to try and contend, I think he's and I think they've realized this now. He is at his best coming off the bench, and the Warriors are at their best when he's coming off the bench. And frankly, I think that's how it should be for him the rest of the way in his career. And I think he could probably extend his career several years and have a lot of good seasons doing that. So I think that's where it stays this year. And for him and for the Warriors' sake, I hope it stays that way.
The most improved player market is pretty wide open after the Embiid injury. Tyrese Maxey still the favorite at minus 250, but Super Bowl week it was minus 800. But Jonathan Kuminga, slowly but surely working his way up. What do you think it will take for him to win most improved?
Ooh, that's a really, really good question. I think he needs to average, like continue putting up like 20 plus a night. I think that's really going to kind of have to be, and doing so efficiently, and then maybe having a couple of big games like on national TV. I think having a huge game at the Garden last night really helped, especially defensively. I thought he was really good last night. So I think it's that, and then I think the Warriors too have to continue their run. I think they have to finish the season really strong. Maybe push for the like a 7 or 8 seed. Maybe scare a 6 seed depending on what happens in front of them. I don't think that's going to happen though. I think there's too many good teams in front of them. But I think they would really have to make a run where they win. I don't know exactly how many games they have left. 23, 24 games left. If they have 23 games left, call it. I think they have to go like 18-5 and have Kuminga be really, really good in those games to get him there, I think.
Well, Kuminga averaged 20 points a game in January, 18 in February, so he's certainly getting on pace for somebody that should at least be in the conversation more and more as the season wraps up. Kyle Madsen, really appreciate you coming on with us. Thanks for the time.
Good stuff, my guy.
Anytime, guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Next, let's do a quick pop-in on the Denver Nuggets, shall we, with Ryan Edwards, who hosts KOA Sports weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m. Mountain Time on KOA 850 AM, 94.1 FM in Denver, Colorado, of course. Of course, it's an Odyssey station. Ryan gives us a brief but interesting look at the Nuggets, which we'll get into right now.
Nikola Jokic clearly looks like an MVP this year. There's a reason why he's the favorite. Do you think that he wins another MVP when it's all said and done?
I think it's his to lose. I mean, there's certainly a scenario where if the Nuggets decide to rest him down the stretch, and I think that did impact things a little bit. You mentioned the fatigue. I think that was absolutely part of it. And there were people out there in the NBA community that weren't quite ready to give Nikola Jokic a third MVP, and that would be 3 in a row. Joel Embiid had a tremendous season. I think he did deserve to be in that conversation. But Nikola Jokic was actually putting up almost better numbers than the previous year last year. But they did rest him down the stretch. And I think the combination of those things ultimately went to Joel Embiid. This year, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is just an unreal talent, and he will be in that conversation. But there is nobody affecting the game like Nikola Jokic right now. And you see the way they've come out of the All-Star break, just triple-double after every single night. They're making a statement right now. They went into the break on a 3-game slide. People were like, all right, are they really bored? Is this a team that can sort of sustain and just at least have home court in the first round? And they came out on fire. They've won every game except for last night in double digits. And now you got MPJ really doing his thing. AG's been great the entire time. So as long as, again, health remains, I think this team, they just know who they are, and that's a very dangerous thing for everybody else.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the things that just the analytics on the Denver Nuggets, and they're not top 8 in almost any statistical category until you start looking at, you know, their top 7, top 8 guys. It feels like Michael Malone is fine to play maybe less effective players or rotations that aren't as meaningful in the regular season. But when you look at what we're going to see in the playoffs, I think that they're a monster offensively. What do you think the strategy is to keep those guys from getting worn out, like you said, was a possibility down the stretch last year?
Yeah, it was interesting, and it got tested a little bit last year when, I mean, Michael Malone stuck to an eight-man rotation. He just did not mess with it in the postseason. And he said going into that, he's going to try to give these guys breaks where possible. But I would not be surprised if, once again, we get to the postseason and he's just going to say, listen, you're our max players. You're our star players. I got to play you. We need to take this just as seriously. Everybody's going to be giving us their best shot because you're the defending champions. And they've had that mindset for a while. I think it was startling for for a lot of the young players on this team to have that target on their back coming into this year. And I think there's been some adjustment moments in the season, but I think they've kind of figured that out now about what they're going to get night in, night out. And again, I think some of those trials and tribulations this year have ultimately led them to a place where they're comfortable being in their own skin and comfortable with teams coming after them. So I think we're going to get back to that eight-man rotation as the postseason starts. But yeah, you might see some weird lineups over the next couple weeks.
Ryan Edwards, KOA Sports in Denver. Great to talk to you, man. Thanks for the time.
Finally, let's talk to Kurt Heelan, the NBA writer for NBC Sports. Kurt is going to make it all make sense for us, so no more filibustering. Let's get right into that interview. A lot of great information.
You bring on Kurt Heelan. He's the lead NBA writer and managing editor for NBCSports.com. And, you know, we look at the Celtics team, man, and you see so much talent. You see so just adding Kristaps Porzingis brought like a whole new dimension to this team with Jrue Holiday on top of that. It just feels like, you said this during the break, so I'm not going to pretend that this wasn't you that said it from the beginning, but we all agreed. We kind of feel like we're on a collision course for Boston and Denver in the NBA Finals as long as both these teams stay healthy.
Exactly. Like, tonight's a great example where we're like, well, Denver's been playing a lot better defense, and Gafford really fits with them, and that gives them a couple bigs, and their minutes have looked really good, and yeah, they can't beat Boston. Like, it's just Boston's just the best team in the NBA right now. Denver can be that way and frankly has looked that way the last, what, since the break maybe? Like, for the last few games where they're kind of in a tough stretch of the schedule and you could see them, like, gear up and get serious. And I would say that's bad news for the Lakers yet. I don't know if anything – I haven't seen anything official yet on Jamal Murray, unless you guys have seen it. I haven't seen it yet, but I can't imagine he plays. So maybe there's a door – maybe that door's open a little, but even then, I don't see anything that gets in the way of that collision course. They're just, every time I try to talk myself into, hey, Cleveland's playing really well, you know, I just can't get there.
We were talking about confidence ratings in the West, Kurt, and the only other team that I have a high level of confidence in, other than Denver in the West, not that they don't have talent, not that they're not playing well or they have the horses, but that I actually feel good in what they've accomplished before this year moving forward, and that's the 10-spot Warriors. They're playing really well in their last, 25 games or so. On the road, their road record is great. Against the spread, road favorite is also really great. They end up getting the dub by, 10 points or so to the Raptors tonight, even though the Raptors kept it close. For you, is that right? Do you feel like the Warriors have started to figure some things out?
I would say this. I do think they've started to figure things out. They found their identity, and it took Steve Kerr a long time to get there because it meant not going with Kevon Looney, who, I don't know, look, last year he was pretty good, and this year it's just fell off a cliff. And Wiggins, is on the back of a milk carton somewhere for much of this season. So it took him a long time to get around to, we got to play Kuminga, we got to play Pods, Klay Thompson coming off the bench. But now that they're leaning into that, it works. With Draymond has played great since coming back from his suspension. They're playing better basketball, but I still think you can bully them a little bit. They're a little bit small. They don't quite have the same depth. I feel like they can only get there. And I think a lot of teams in the West are this way. It's all about matchups and avoiding Denver. Like, if they can find a way to get a good matchup, maybe they could surprise Minnesota or somebody or OKC who doesn't have the playoff experience in the first round and make a little run. But I feel like everything's got to break just right for them. Lakers are kind of the same way, right? if everything breaks just right, we've got a chance. But those are long odds for that to happen, man. The other team, by the way, I have confidence in, sort of. I do think the Clippers can get there. I'm just worried that in the last as much as we've talked them up, and I'm one of those people like, you know, hey, I think they've got the talent, all this. They're just not executing of late. Like the last few weeks, they're just stagnant almost in February. And if they don't start executing, if they don't start, you know, to use Kawhi's words, they don't stop winning on just talent, they're not going to get there.
You mentioned the Warriors and the Lakers. And if the playoffs were to start right now, yeah, they would have to play one another just like they did in 2021, 9-10 spot, loser goes to the crib and licks their wounds. That is what I need in my veins, injected into me, Kurt. Who wins that game to you?
That's a really good question. I kind of think, weirdly, I think that could be better for the Lakers in that the way you can beat these Warriors is push them around a little bit. Just be too big, too strong for them. Lakers are a big team with Rui Hachimura starting and LeBron and AD. Like, they are a physically large team. I think this is a pretty good matchup for them, but it's one game. And Steph Curry. He could just, hey, here's 40, and I'm going to hit seven threes, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can also have those. I mean, Klay's looked great off the bench. They have enough guys who can get hot. So, I mean, it's one game. It's that NCAA tournament excitement. I think there's a lot of people, though, who are with you. There's a lot of us fans who are like, that would be awesome in the first round. That would, or, you know, the play-in. That would be so much fun. Win or go home game between those two. And then a bunch of ABC and TNT executives would, like, be crying that night once it's over.
The Warriors are in that spot where, like Trista just brought up, right? They're playing great basketball. We're getting to that spot where you go, well, yeah, this is the Warriors. They've got the experience. They're turning it up at the right time. Maybe they do go on a run. In the East, we really started to feel that way, at least on this show, about the Miami Heat. They're a team that went out and made, you know, some moves this season, add a little more scoring punch, maybe, if Terry Rozier can stay consistent, if Tyler Hero can stay healthy. So you have a lot of these ifs. But then we also know Jimmy Butler's Jimmy Butler in the playoffs. Bam Adebayo's continuing to get better and better. And we're looking at a team now that's been in a really good stretch of basketball, especially defensively. There's concerns about what they do offensively. But do you look at that Heat team as a team that can maybe do something similar this year that they did last year?
I don't think they can get by Boston, but beyond that, yes, absolutely. And it's Jaime Jaquez giving them the second scoring option out of anywhere. By the way, if you want to watch Laker fans cry, bring up that they passed him up in the draft, the local UCLA kid that they saw for 4 years. It tortures them. But I think they can. I think that things, again, in terms of confidence factor, Boston's up here, and then it's what's left with Joel Embiid? And do you really trust Cleveland? And the Knicks still need a guy, right? As much as I love the way they play, they also, Tom Thibodeau teams play 82 playoff games a year and sometimes can't find that next gear when they get into the postseason. So are they going to be ready? All through that, you look at Miami and the way they're hitting their stride right now. And like you said, we know Jimmy Butler's got enough. Playoff Jimmy, he doesn't want to believe, say that's a real thing. It's a real thing, right? Like, Jimmy Butler's going to come in and play great. And they absolutely could make a run, I think, to the conference finals if things broke their way. Ultimately, I don't think they can get past Boston with Porzingis this year. That Porzingis creates matchup nightmares for them, like he kind of does everyone.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about, is that the Celtics right now are making it look so easy. You got four or five guys on any given night that can be in double digits. Yeah. You've got Derek White having the best season of his entire career, probably going to get all NBA or all defense, right? You've got same thing going on with Drew Holiday, one of the best defenders in the NBA, and they use him in so many different ways. What do you see with your own two eyes about how different this Celtics like makeup is since the versus say last year?
I think two things. It's Holiday on defense. That Holiday, I mean, now you've got Porzingis, who's a big in the middle, but now between Brown, Tatum, Holiday and White, you're starting four guys who can switch a lot, almost everything, who there's no weak link defensively. That's huge. There's nobody you can just target, right? There's nobody you can just go at this quite the same way. And then on offense, it is Porzingis. Porzingis Boston fans are knocking on wood every time we say his name, right? Just like keep the knees healthy through the playoffs. But he is such a matchup problem because he pulls your big out. He can put it on the floor a little, but the things he's just, he is a ramped up version of what Al Horford could give them last year and the last couple of years. He's a better version of that. And it's just, there's no good answer. I mean, their top six is the best top six in the league.
Kurt, got about a minute left here. So when you talked about the Knicks, it made me think of something, and it was, right, 82 playoff games, Tom Thibodeau. We know he's always been notorious, kind of running his guys into the ground. Are all these injuries maybe a little bit of a result of that again?
Maybe. It tends to be the more wear and tear on that. I think, you know, the Randall thing's a bit of a fluke. The Mitchell thing, I'm not sure we can blame on him. So I think I'm going to give them cut him some slack this year. But Thibodeau feels like the kind of coach where, as a GM, you almost have to put together a roster that forces him, you know, hey, let's take this player away from him so he doesn't lean on him too much. Let's do this to kind of try to get him to lean into those other minutes for guys and keep guys' minutes down and keep them rested, because it's not in his nature. You've kind of got to force him to do it.
Tell you what, as a tortured Knicks fan, Kurt, I would love to see this team just get healthy, just so there's something to be excited about. But
do you guys even know what to do with competent management?
No. I just expected Leon Rose to completely ruin this whole thing. We thought Jalen Brunson was a complete disaster, and it's like maybe he knows what he's doing. As long as James Dolan stays out of the way, they may actually still have a future here if these guys can stay healthy. Kurt Helin, NBCSports.com. Great to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
Stay out of trouble with the wifey.
Too late.
Thanks, Kurt.
That's all the time that we have for this episode of the Heat Check. Come back all tomorrow for the Rookie Report. And check out the feed for past episodes and mini episodes which drop unexpectedly, like the tiny little screws that holds the brush on the front of a Bissell Power Washer for your carpet. Can't get that thing back together. Sorry, Mama. Mama's not even listening, so sorry. Do not forget to follow the Heat Check as we head down the stretch of the NBA season. That means download. That means subscribe. That means tell your friends. All of them. Even that customer service rep at Lowe's who can't figure out how to refund that blind that you bought on Apple Pay because it's a different card number than your card in your wallet. Tell her, hey, just look up my customer account number instead of making me try every damn credit card in my fucking wallet. And oh yeah, hey, this is my name, Trista M. Crick, who has a podcast. It is also dope. Do not forget to follow us at this Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. We'll see you next time.